All right. How about all that good stuff? Everybody excited about that? All right. All right. A lot of excitement in the building this morning. Well, I just want to say this has been an incredible series that we have been in, that we're in the, well, we're kind of getting near the end of it now, called Life Story. It's an eight-part series that we just took people's story. You know, your story is very powerful, and everybody has a story. And so I started off this series, kicking it off, talking about a trust factor. And following me were seven other speakers from our church. You know, when I first announced that we were going to do this and have seven different speakers that did not include me, I got a thunderous applause. And I'm not sure how to take that. But I'm telling you, it has been absolutely incredible. Everybody has brought something different and unique. I encourage you to go online to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. We've got all of these messages archived if you have missed any of these. Normally, we deliver messages in the way of having message notes where we have fill in the blanks. This series, we're just giving everybody a clean slate, and they're actually in your worship guide are some blank notes there that you can use to take notes through these. I encourage you to do that. And again, if you've missed any of these, please be sure and go online and check these out. We've got two more remaining in this series this week and next week. Karen is speaking today. My son, Theron Jr., is speaking next week, his first message. Many people, it's their first time ever speaking. I want to tell you, it's been a joy for me just to sit and just kind of meet with them as they're preparing their messages and just pour into them. It's just been awesome. I will tell you, however, though, that Dwayne, our worship pastor, I met with the worship team this morning and as they were having their prayer. And I usually don't step into that meeting, but I said, I'm going to step in here and just kind of speak value into you guys, tell you how much I love you and appreciate you and the incredible job you're doing. And he was sharing with them that, you know, this has been an incredible series. And in fact, he went on and on so much about it, I was beginning to get a little insecure there. And he said, so when in a couple of weeks when Pastor comes, he said, bring your pillow and your blanket, because he hadn't preached in 7 weeks. He's taking a preaching sabbatical, and you better get ready. I told him, I want to bring your bag lunch. I'm just kidding, okay? Don't worry, you can come back. It's safe. It's safe. But let me just say this right now as we go into this installment of this series. Karen Stone is our dream team coordinator here at Crosspoint and does a phenomenal job. A phenomenal job. And she truly has leadership qualities that are God-given. And oftentimes we have a huddle in the mornings with our dream team and talk about what we're doing today, and we speak life into that the dream team. And Karen leads that, and oftentimes she preaches in the huddle. So she's been doing this regularly, so don't let her kid you. She's a phenomenal communicator, and she just has a wonderful spirit of Jesus upon her life. And I truly believe she has something powerful to speak into your life today. And I think people are going to be set free in this house today. So I want to encourage you to get ready. Come on, just open your heart and let the Lord speak into your life as Karen comes to deliver today's Woo! Message. Come on, everybody, give it up for Karen yeah. Stone. Yeah. Woo! Come on.
Thank you. All right. Well, they probably knew I was short. That's why that's a little down. So I don't blame anybody. So I hope you guys are enjoying this series as much as I am. I have just been so encouraged by all the stories that I've heard. And just God's story, His story, is the most important. And we have heard that week after week. And it has been amazing. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to share my story today. You know, it's a struggle sometimes when we are having to be so candid and just put ourselves out there and share things that are so personal. But you know what? God reminded me that He gives us a story so that we can share it. And as I was preparing and, you know, just praying about what God would have me speak through my story, you know, I just didn't really want to invite people. I was like so nervous, and I'm glad Pastor said for you guys to relax because I have enough nervousness for all of us. But anyway, when he asked me to do that and I was praying, and that's just my personality, I don't invite. And God said, if nobody's there to hear it, why did I give you a story? And so here we go. But first of all, we're Facebook Live, and Heather, one of our dream teamers, had surgery. So I want to give a shout out to you, Heather. We love you. Good morning. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Karen, and I was truly blessed to grow up in a Christian home. My parents are here today, and my grandfather, and I'm just so glad to have them, and just want to take this time to thank them for the foundation and the heritage that they built into me, because without that, you know, I don't know where I'd be today, and I don't want to know where I'd be, so I'm so thankful that they're here to share in this. But my life started out normal, healthy, until about the age of 5, when I started to have very severe headaches. I want to preface this story a little bit. In God's mercy, I do not remember the pain that I went through during this time. I don't remember some of the details, but my family has been gracious to fill those in for me. But I do think that's God's mercy, that he shielded me from that. But that being said, my mom has told me that I would just wake up in the middle of the night screaming in pain because my head was hurting so bad. And after doctor visits and tests, I was diagnosed with an aneurysm in my brain. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's a bulge in one of the vessels or arteries in your brain. And so the doctor said it was inoperable, the place where it was in my brain. They could not get to it. And so they just said, you know, she'll continue to get worse. They tried to comfort my parents with, you know, she'll pass quickly. It'll burst and it'll be instant. Not too comforting when you're a parent and you've got a child who is in pain and there's nothing you can do about it. But I do believe they were trying to help, you know, trying to give comfort where they could. I indeed started to deteriorate. I began to lose the reflexes on one side of my body. My mom said I could just be walking across the floor and just fall because that complete side of my body would just give out. And we couldn't find the picture, but my mom has a picture of me sitting on the couch, and I could barely even hold my head up. That's how intense and how much I was deteriorating on that side of my body. During this time, because of being raised in the church and the foundation that I had, I was fully aware that I needed to ask Jesus into my heart, because I was aware that I could pass away at any moment, even at that young age. And I wanted to know that I was going to be with Jesus. And so even at that young age, I made a decision to ask Jesus into my heart. And I asked my mom to help me in that. And so she led me in a prayer, and I started my journey with Jesus that day. And so in the meantime, because we went to church, you know, we were there all the time, we began having people pray for me and pray for healing. And I remember one person in particular, and his name was Brother Britt. Sweet, sweet old man. And I would come into church, and he would grab my head, and he would just start praying for me. And I can remember his wife saying, don't grab that baby's head. That's where she's hurting. But it's really through those prayers that God completely healed me of that aneurysm. That's right. My reflexes were restored, and actually, even to this day, I have some killer reflexes. They are just over-exaggerated. I'm not kidding. And I think God, you know, just reminds me in that what he did for me. Because without those reminders, we can forget what God has done. So the doctors couldn't explain it other than a miracle. And needless to say, this really caused me to have great faith as a child. I wouldn't have known that that was what I would call it, but as I was growing up, you know, I can remember two instances specifically where I just prayed and God answered. As a child, you know, you get to that point where you want a pet, and I wanted a cat, to be specific. And so I asked Mom and Dad, and to their defense, my dad is very allergic to cats. So the answer was no, and I was with a little more sass than I probably should have had. I was like, fine, I'll just pray for one. God will give me a cat. And so that's what I did. And needless to say, little Stray came to the house, showed up, and didn't go away. So her name became Fluffy, and she was my cat, not in the house, but outside. And I'm telling you, that was just such a faith builder for me, to see that I prayed for something, and God answered. It was a little thing, but he answered my prayer. And the other instance, I was wanting to learn how to play the piano. Well, we didn't have a piano at the house, so I ask again, can I have a piano? And the answer was no. So probably a little more sassy than the first time, those hands go on the hips again and say, fine, I'll just pray for one. God'll give me a piano. And I prayed, and needless to say, my parents received a phone call a few days later after that prayer. And a couple was actually trying to find a home for a piano, free of charge. They just needed a place for it to go. So I got a piano. And you know what? Those things just continue to build your faith as a child. And when I read in the Bible where it says to have faith like a little child, that is the type of faith I had as a child. And I can just remember believing that God could do anything. Nothing was impossible for him. I truly believed that if I ask, I would receive. And, you know, God showed up in my life over and over. But time passed, and I grew up, not this way, but in age. So I got older, and the older I got, the more I had very intense struggles with fear. And it would start with just an innocent thought, but then I would very quickly hear another voice, and that voice was the voice of fear. And ultimately, it led me down a path of very destructive thoughts until I found myself completely bound and paralyzed by fear. And so my struggle would go a little something like this internally. Boy, my head sure is hurting.
Maybe you were just never healed.
Sure I was. It's just a headache, really. Oh, it's hurting. Maybe something is wrong. Wow. I just can't get rid of this headache.
I bet it's the aneurysm.
Oh, no. Could it be an aneurysm? I wonder what the symptoms of a stroke are. Maybe that's what I'm having. Whew. I better stay right here. I can't go out. Something may happen. Yeah, I'm just so afraid. And by this time, I'm convinced that I'm dying and I'm completely consumed by the bondage of fear. I can't help anybody. I can't make a difference. I can't see past this fear that feels like it's swallowing me whole. You know, fear touches all of us at some point. It doesn't have to be the fear of death, but it could be the fear of rejection. It could be the fear of not being good enough. These days, it could be the fear of terrorism. It could be the fear of losing somebody. And you know what? In my life, I have surely ran the gamut of fear. Many things would come and terrorize me internally. And I wouldn't even know where to go or what to do. And the fears were different, but this scenario was the same. You know, the thought would come in, and if I didn't do anything to stop it, it would just grow and grow until I was completely consumed. But I'm here to tell you that there is hope. We can be armed and ready for the battle that we call fear. God loves you, and He wants you to be free. He wants you to live an abundant life. And He tells us that in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And fear was my thief. It came to steal my peace and my joy. It came to kill my dreams. And it came to completely destroy my destiny in Christ. But here's the hope part, because Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And it's a life of freedom that He came to give. And so today, I can choose to let go of that fear. Those bands that bind me, I can let go of that. And I can lift my hands, and I can lift my head, and I can praise the only one who can set us free. And so you may be thinking, Karen, that's a great illustration. Love the music, set the mood. But how do I practically choose to be free? And so I'm glad you asked that question today, because I want to help you. God has shown me some very practical things along the way. And I just want to share the things that He's shown me in my struggle, and pray that it helps you in yours. Albert Einstein once said, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. So in the middle of my fear, I found opportunities to let Christ set me free and to grow in my relationship with Him. And so I want to help you with some practical things that you can do. So are you guys ready? Are you ready for it? Let's go. So the first thing, and I've called these fear busters, and I wondered whether I should say that I actually titled this before we had the Ghostbusters experience last week. So I'm not playing off of what we did. We served last week, and four of us went to Habitat for Humanity, and we looked like the Ghostbusters. We were in full suits. And so I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. But these are fear busters, and I have four things that God really showed me during these times. And the first one are essential habits. We need to develop essential habits in our life. During my life, I started to bring all the books that I've read on fear and put them up here, but that'd be a little embarrassing. It's about this big. I got every book I could possibly read on that topic. I listened to messages. I just did anything and everything that I possibly could to help me through my fear. And so when you're reading these books, you come up with, you know, some things that they all say. And I feel like if every one of them bring it up in a book, then maybe I should pay attention. It's probably a good thing. So one of those habits that we develop is to read God's word. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." God's word is absolute truth. And so if it's truth, this word lets me know that that truth is what's going to set me free. So I need to pay attention to it. So with this one, I like to kick it a little old school. So if you've ever had Essentials 201 with me, you know exactly what I do, because I pull out my 3x5 index card, and you all should have gotten one. So if you'll pull that out, we're going to go through one together today. So across the top, you want to write the fear. And today, for this example, we're going to write "not good enough" across the top. So this is the lie. This is what the enemy, the fear, is telling me that I am. I'm not good enough. Then you want to find a scripture that dispels that lie. And so for today's example, we're going to use Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And you can write this right under that fear. Says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." So through Christ, I'm good enough. I can do everything because it's his strength and it's his word that's doing that in me. So you want to write it, you want to read it, you want to meditate on it and memorize it. Get it into you so that you can use it when that fear comes. When the enemy tries to speak into your mind and say, "You're not good enough," you have a scripture that you've memorized that will say to that lie, "No, through Christ I can do all things. And I know that as truth. And that truth is what sets me free in the midst of that fear." Proverbs 7, 2 through 3 puts it this way. It says, "Guard my words as your most precious possession." And I got to thinking about that part of that scripture. Do I guard God's word as my most precious possession? It holds the key to my freedom. And so when something is that important, you want to guard it. You want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to protect that word. And it goes on to say, "Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart." So I think if the scripture tells me to write it down and to keep it deep in my heart, then that's what I should do. And so it's good to write it out. It helps you. You're visually seeing it. You're actually writing it. You're saying it over in your mind, and you get it into your heart. So scripture is a powerful tool to setting us free. The second habit is prayer. We need to pray. Psalm 118, 5 and 6a says, I was in trouble, so I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. I will not be afraid because the Lord is with me. You know, David reminds us often in the Psalms to call out to the Lord and he will answer us. He wants to help us in our time of trouble. And you know, this is a way for us to surrender our fear to him and ask him to be with us. That is a direct conversation between you and the Lord. And we are able to talk to him, to say, Lord, I don't know why I'm struggling, but here it is. And how can you help me? Prayer is powerful. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And this scripture, I just love it because I get a mental picture. As you can see, I'm very visual. I like visual things. But I read that scripture and I know that God is my refuge and God is my strength. He doesn't say, maybe I will be. He's direct. He is my strength. He is my refuge. And I get this picture of the Lord sitting on the throne, on the edge of it, just saying, okay, I'm ready. They're in trouble. I'm ready to come rescue them. But we got to call out to him. You know, parents out there, if you have kids, you see your kids starting to get into trouble, you want to go help them immediately, but sometimes they need to call out and say, help, daddy, mommy, help. You know, and then they're ready. They're going to be right there. The Lord's the same way, and he tells us that. He is ready to help us in those times. So keep that in your mind when the fears come. You're not by yourself, and the Lord is sitting there ready to help you in that time of need. And then the last thing is, you know, scripture, prayer, all good things. But we need to apply that to our lives. It doesn't help if we don't apply it. These things were great. And in my struggle, I'm telling you, I could quote every scripture related to every fear that I had ever gone through. I would call out to the Lord. But sadly, I wasn't free. And I didn't feel like God was coming to help me, honestly. And I would cry, because I'm a very emotional person. And I would tell the Lord, you know what? I just don't understand. Why am I not free? I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm doing all these things. Why? Why am I not free? And at one time, I got to a point of desperation when I got completely at the end of me. And that's when the Lord gently showed me that I didn't believe what I was quoting. I didn't believe that God wanted to answer my prayers. I didn't believe that he even cared to take care of that. You say, well, Karen, you were healed from this aneurysm. How could you be in that spot? But I had let myself get to that point where faith to get anything to, God, I don't even know if you want to help me in that moment. And so this was a very hard realization for me because it really showed me my pride. And I had to surrender that to the Lord. I had to lay it down. I had to believe that God would see me through my fear. That he loved me enough to answer me and set me free. And when I got to that point, I could just take a breath and say, okay, God, I trust you. I may not see it, I may not feel it in here, but I trust you. I'm making a choice today to say, I trust you. And in those moments, I found out what relationship was with God. And it's not a one-way street. I was trying to do when all he wanted was for me to be. He does the doing, and I can rest in him. Yes, I need to memorize the scripture. I need to do what I'm called to do in those moments. But it's his power, not mine, that's doing the work. And I can rest in that and rest in knowing that God's got my back. It doesn't matter what all these external things are, he's got my back and he's going to take care of me. So the second fear buster that we're going to talk about is recognize your weak spots. The Lord began to show me patterns in my seasons of fear. They looked very much the same. And for me, when I'm extremely tired or busy, the enemy will start popping those things right in my head. And I feel too weak to even stop it. So in those times, I really have to exercise scripture. And come on, let's build those spiritual muscles, because it is a fight. And we have to be ready for that fight. And so the scripture that I go to in the weak spots is 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The truth is, because what? The truth sets us free, right? The truth is that the enemy is looking for our weaknesses. He's looking for those spots where he can devour us. So we have to be on the alert during those times. So when I'm extremely tired or I'm extremely busy, I have to be sober. I have to be diligent, knowing that when that thought pops in, okay, is this from God or is this from my enemy? And what am I going to do with it? And you stop it right there in its tracks. You know, we can easily give in. We can think that we're all alone in the struggle, in the fear. But you know what? There's a story about Jesus. And we're not going to read the whole story, so don't worry. But if you want to read it at some time, it's found in Matthew chapter 4. And long story short, Jesus, this is right before he begins his public ministry, and he's been on a 40-day fast. We do 21, I can't imagine 40. So at the end of 40 days, he hasn't eaten, and he's weak. And he's getting ready to start this ministry that God has called him to do. And the enemy comes. And you can find in that passage of scripture where the enemy comes three times to tempt Jesus. And at this time on earth, he's fully human, but he's fully God. And so we can see that perfect example of coming and being sober and being diligent about what we're doing. And so we can see that through Jesus' example, he didn't give in to those temptations. He was strong in that. And he fought it with the word, the truth. And you know what? I began to realize that the enemy doesn't have any new tricks in his bag. What I read in the word is what I'm going to face. And so I don't have to be scared about that, because it's nothing new. He's tried it for years, and we can stand strong in that. So know your weak spots. Know where you need to be diligent in that. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Let us know to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And in the Word, they will use heart and mind interchangeably. So that scripture could read, guard your mind above all else. There's a reason that your mind is part of your central nervous system. It controls everything else about you. So guard your mind. Pay attention to what's going in there. Pay attention to what you're allowing to come in. For it determines the course of your life. It will determine whether I am hunched down in fear, scared half to death, or I'm standing up here with Jesus saying, okay, let's go. We're going to fight this thing. We can do it. That your mind can determine which stance you're in that fear. So pay attention to it. All right, the third fear buster is remember what the Lord has done. You know what? We need to remember his goodness. And Joshua, he is one of my favorites in the scripture, and I believe it's because I can truly identify with him. Countless times, God tells him to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid. So I think he struggled with fear. He struggled with that fear of leading the children of Israel. And I really can't say I blame him if you've read anything about those children. They were a piece of work. But he was afraid. He found himself there and scared about what God had put before him. That was a big task. And so one instance in Joshua 4, and we're actually not going to read it, but you can read it yourself. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. And God is getting ready to part those waters again, just like he did at the Red Sea. And they're going to walk across on dry ground. And he tells Joshua, he says, pick one man from each tribe and have them pick up a stone in the middle of the Jordan. And when you get to the other side, I want you to take those stones and build a memorial to me. And when your children ask, what are those stones for? You're going to be able to tell them that God parted the waters on this day and we walked on dry ground. So they're going to be able to remember what God has asked them to do. We need to remember what God has done. When I'm tempted to fear death, I need to remember what God did for me at 5 years old. And when I'm tempted, I need to remember that God is my healer and his work is complete. He doesn't leave anything open. It is complete. And so sometimes we just need a tangible reminder of God. So get ready, because we have something for all of you. Let's go. This is your tangible reminder of who God is. These stones each have an attribute of God on them. And I want you to remember and be reminded that, you know what? God is holy. God is love. God is kind toward us. God is our healer. God is our provider in those times when we need him. And he is a very present help in our time of trouble. He wants to step in and say, I'm these things for you. Karen, I am these things for you. Believe it. Remember what I've done. So when I stop and I remember what God did for me at 5 years old, I'm encouraged. And you know what? It's really incredible how the fears can just melt away when I remember who God is in my life. And then the last one is make a difference. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, when we let fear rule in our lives, we are completely focused on me, on ourselves. We can't look out for the interest of others. We can't regard them as higher than us because we can't see past what's going on right here. And so I've found that in serving others, I'm getting the attention off of me, and I am able to serve others in love. I'm free to serve people when I'm changing the way I'm thinking about that. So we absolutely need each other, and we need to be involved in something that's bigger than ourselves. And it helps. It helps us to get our attention off of us. And you know, that's one thing that I absolutely love about my church. Making a difference is one of our four things. You know what? We want you to know God. We want you to find freedom, which we're talking about today. We want you to discover your purpose, and then we want you to make a difference. It's about being fulfilled in what God has called you to do. And it's beautiful. It's simple, but it's beautiful, and it works. You know, as Pastor said, I get the incredible honor to lead and serve our dream team. And what an incredible group of people. I couldn't ask for a better group to serve with. And I found that when I'm serving that way, just like Pastor said, it, you know, you're mentoring each other. You're helping each other along the way. I can pray for you. And because I'm in relationship with you, I know specifically how to call your name in prayer. And, you know, you can do that for me. And today, you saw in the video, we are offering Dream Team 401. And as a church, we would love to help you find a place to make a difference. Because that is what it's about. That's the fulfillment. Our desire for you is to see you become a fully devoted follower of Christ. And that only happens when you're making a difference. So my prayer is that we can walk away today with some practical next steps in our fight against fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what? Fear is not from God. And we can remind the enemy of that when we're tempted to be afraid. You know, we've looked at a lot of good tools today. We've had some fun, I hope, in the midst of it. And we've learned how to take some practical steps. But you know, none of this really works if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. None of it. We'll be stuck in our patterns until we make that decision to follow Him. So in our closing moments today, I just want you to take a moment to reflect on that. You know, where are you with the Lord? Do you believe that He loves you? That He wants you to be whole? Because you know what? The Bible tells me He does. That is truth. His word is His love story. It's all about redeeming us for His purpose so that we can make a difference. That's what He wants to do. So, you know, maybe you've never made that decision for Christ. And you know what? Today could be your day. Our word tells us that today is the day of salvation. Or maybe you're on the other side of that. You've trusted God. You've asked Him into your heart. But you're far from Him today. He's got open arms ready to welcome you back home and into fellowship with Him. Just like we talked about earlier, I knew what to do, but I found relationship when I actually applied it. So Pastor Theron's going to come as you reflect on that and help us in that decision.
Well, don't you appreciate that word today? Come on. Powerful, powerful life story. Powerful life story of freedom, being set free. I shared with Karen that she was telling me how she's going to present some of this, that I said, I'm going to hand out these stones. And I said, well, we're just going to pray that the right stone will hit the right person. We're not here stoning people. Mine says provider. Stone found the right person on that one. Can I just tell you, He's our provider of everything that we need. He has provided everything that we need. When He died on the cross 2,000 years ago and paid the price for your freedom, for you to be set free from whatever binds you, whether it's fear, whatever that is. But I love what Karen said. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus. It begins when we trust Him. I was sitting here thinking, as she was sharing about trust, you know, we talk about putting our faith in the Lord. Someone broke that out, that F-A-I-T-H, is forsaking all, I trust Him. Perhaps you're here today and there's some things that you need to forsake, you need to let go, and you need to put your trust in Jesus. I'm telling you, in that place is where you're going to find peace. It's in that place you're going to find freedom. Come on, it's in that place that you're going to find strength, amen? And you're going to find the confidence to overcome whatever the enemy tries to throw your way in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. So here's what I'd like us to do. I want to give a wonderful opportunity today just to help lead you in that place of surrender, of just giving Him your life. Just saying, Lord, I know You've provided everything I need, so I'm going to trust You today with my life. And so you're here today. Maybe you've made that decision before, but you know you're not where you need to be with him. You've allowed the enemy to come back in, as Karen's story, come back in and encroach upon your life and lead you into a place where God never intended you to be. Or perhaps you've never really ever truly surrendered your life completely to the Lord. Either way, I want to help lead you in a prayer today. So here's what I'd like us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But I simply would like the honor of helping you pray a prayer of surrender to the Lord. And so if that's you today, again, while no one's looking, and it's going to be your prayer, but I'm just going to help you with the words. But when we pray, and you'd say, Pastor, today, when you pray, I need to pray that prayer of surrender. I need to pray a prayer of commitment to the Lord. I need to surrender my life. I need to trust him today. If that's you, would you just right now where you're seated, just slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. Yes, God bless you. Good job over here. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Hands going up all over this place. Amen. So proud of you. Best choice you'll ever make. Best choice you'll ever make is making the decision to invite Jesus to come in your life and be the Lord of your life and give him your life. So today, those of you that have raised your hands, or maybe you didn't even raise your hand today, but you know you need to pray this prayer. Let me help lead you in this prayer. And as we pray, here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like everybody here to join in this prayer, whether you need to pray this or not, to support those that are praying this prayer. And come on, let's pray together. Pray something like this. From your heart, just pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. I invite you to come in. Drive out everything from me that is unlike you. Make me brand new on the inside. Make me a new person. I believe today that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. So today I forsake my sin. I forsake my past. I turn from my way to your way. By faith, I accept you. I accept that you made payment for me so I wouldn't have to pay for my sins because you paid them for me. So thank you today. By faith, I accept you into my life. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I thank you for setting me free. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, say this one more time, this beautiful phrase. Say this, I give you my life. Thank you, Lord, for every person who just invited you into their life today. God, along with heaven, I celebrate with them the best choice that they'll ever make. God, I give you all the praise and all the glory. And now, Lord, I pray, Father, you would fill them with your Spirit. You would enable them and give them the power, the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, that boldness that comes when your Holy Spirit comes, fills us with boldness to live this thing out and walk victoriously for you. We are more than conquerors through you. God, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, imparting that today into these people. God, we just thank you. And Lord, we thank you that you're called us, Lord, God, to discover who you are, to be in a relationship with you, and to then go out and make a difference. Lord, I thank you for you're doing that in so many ways today. God, encourage your people today. God, we thank you for your word that's true. We accept it. We apply it. God, we're forever changed by it. And we give you all the glory and the praise, for it's in the name of Jesus we all pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. God, we bless you today.